First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome all to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. Naturally, the computer waits to give us trouble right as we're going on the air, but that's okay. We move onward and upward. It is Tuesday, September the 23rd, believe it or not, 2014, in the year of our Lord. We welcome you back to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. If you want to call in, as always, the call-in numbers 858-683-1326, 858-683-1326. Got a lot of stuff on the Freedom Calendar here, freedomcalendar.com, Freedom Calendar. We know that it was 26 years ago this week that Pan Am Flight 103 was bombed over Scotland, 1988. Going back way back before that, this week in 1782, Congress approved the printing of the Bible. That'd be hard to believe today. And this week in 1795, the first $10 gold coin was minted. And finally, also this week, actually this Thursday to be precise, the anniversary of the Bill of Rights being submitted to the states this week in 1789. Now, since we mentioned Scotland, I guess we're going to say a little bit about what happened last week. Scotland tried to become independent of the corrupt United Kingdom. We told you all this vote was coming down. We told you all this vote was coming down 2 days after our last show, and we knew it would be a close vote. Unfortunately, the fix was in. Combined with the typical apathy and ignorance when it comes to voting for something as crucial and paramount as independence. So I guess we need to cover a little bit of review on the failed vote for independence that went down last week in Scotland. Then we'll move on to some more important issues in the news this week. Still waiting on the computer here. I don't know what's going on tonight, folks. I apologize. There we are. A little bit slower than we want it to be. So we had a situation going down, again, just about 5 days ago, where Scotland rejected their own independence. And Alex Salmond resigned as the first minister after Scotland resigned or rejected their independence. Alex Salmond said he would stand down as Scotland's first minister and also as the head of the Scottish National Party after they failed to secure a majority for independence in the Thursday referendum. He told a press conference in his official residence that he would stand down when a new SNP leader would be chosen. He said, "For me right now, there's a decision as to who is best placed to lead this process politically. I believe that this is a new, exciting situation. We're dealing with possibility party, parliament, and country would benefit from new leadership. There are a few people left with a backbone and a pair of balls over in Scotland, which more than one had voted for independence, according on Thursday. So I do salute to all the real Scots who voted for their independence. Unfortunately, we had a lot of cowards and ignorant apathetics when it came to the voting on Thursday. Maybe we should remember back to what William Wallace said to the veteran and the young soldier. William Wallace said, "And if this is your army, why does it go?" And the veteran said to William Wallace, "We didn't come here to fight for them." The young soldier said, "We go home. The English are too many." And William Wallace said, "Sons of Scotland, I am William Wallace." He said, "I've heard. Killed men by the hundreds. Consumed the English with fireballs from his eyes and bolts of lightning from his arse. I am William Wallace. And I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men, and free men you are. What will you do with that freedom? Will you fight?" You see, if you go back to the real battle of Stirling Bridge, which took place, ironically, this past week, 717 years ago, the year 1297, the First War of Scottish Independence. William Wallace had a band of 2,300 Scots that were going up against 13,000 seasoned English troops, including 3,000 cavalrymen. When the battle was over, you had more than 5,000 English troops lay dead, and the Scots had achieved a crushing victory. Of course, England would go on to defeat the Scots, unfortunately, in subsequent battles. A lot of distractions tonight. I apologize, folks. I have people crossing the street, turning around in the driveway. All kinds of crazy stuff happens when the show comes on. I apologize. As I was saying about William Wallace in England and Scotland, England would go on to defeat the Scots in subsequent battles. And William Wallace was betrayed, seized, disemboweled, and beheaded. I don't know if you get that from the sanitized version of William Wallace. Maybe you might get a little bit from the somewhat fictitious tale of Braveheart. But Scotland, sadly, never totally gained its independence. And that's what they were finally on the edge of doing last week. But you see, a lot of people who voted no to their independence were immigrants. Not the original white nation members, but invaders from other countries, multiculturals, if you will, who were not Scottish. So you had that. You had the English finger on the scale, so to speak. No surprises. I mean, if the voting was legitimate, outcome had not been predetermined, then maybe they would have had a chance. But I didn't want to get your hopes up too much last week about the vote, because within the confines of restricted tyrannic law, there's not a lot of hope for them. Remember, all others were found guilty of treason by the crown. So if you think I'm here to say that the election was rigged, guess what? I am telling you that the election was rigged, plain and simple. If you honestly think that the United Kingdom would idly sit by and let Scotland honestly earn their independence, then you're completely nuts. So anyway, there went the battle for the independence of Scotland. And the election fraud in Scotland was far bigger than just counting the votes. The Scots suspected a lot of foul play after the historic vote. You had over 150,000 people demand a recount following evidence suggesting Scottish vote fraud. I guess the response was, what? People aren't supposed to vote more than once, even if they're dead. That's how we elect presidents here in the United States. It's blatantly obvious that the voting was rigged. The Queen, the corrupt crown, the twisted, perverted government of the United Kingdom did not want to divide. And there you have it. Scotland not able to escape. You see, the choice was liberty and self-determination versus the quote-unquote promise of security, as the ads for yes and no in the independence battle clearly demonstrated. Scotland was offered the red pill. You had bankers, oil companies, and other globalists fighting against the nationals of Scotland. You had Russian election observers who said that Westminster rigged the Scottish independence vote. I know it's the Kremlin, and I don't expect you to really put your full faith and belief in the Kremlin, but the Kremlin body that was watching and witnessing and monitoring the election says that the vote count was fixed to secure the no victory. Speaking to RIA Novosti and Russian television, Georgi Fedorov, the head of the Association for Protection of Electoral Rights, stated that, quote, according to what our observers at the polling offices saw, There were far more yes votes than no votes. Fedorov went further, saying Scotland found itself under immense pressure. Those on the UK side campaigning for a no vote resorted to every violation imaginable. His sentiments were echoed by Igor Morozov, a member of the Federation Committee for Foreign Affairs, who said that, quote, we can see that with the exception of Glasgow, those supporting independence failed to register a majority. But we think the Westminster propaganda played a great part in that. I suppose it is down to information put out in recent weeks from the party leaders. Thanks to that, the Scots arrived at the result that they have. In the final 2 weeks of the campaign, folks, the British government displayed panic at the fact of what we told you here last week, that the polls were growing closer and closer. The Yes campaign had even taken a lead at one point, according to BusinessInsider.com. And had the referendum gone the other way, the impact of Westminster would have been monumental, with many speculating that Prime Minister David Cameron would have been forced to resign. I think everyone in Scotland could have voted on camera, yes, and they still would have said that the results was no. We knew that the corrupt crown, the disgusting queen, would not let them go. This land has been fought over for 1,000 years. Could you imagine if they announced a yes vote? We could then expect Ireland and Northern Ireland to maybe want to secede. So, of course, they rigged the election. They're not going to give up their colony. They're stupid, but they're not that stupid. They're stupid and corrupt. They've invested millions of lives and billions of dollars and pounds to keep their slaves in bondage. They're not going to let some stupid election change that. Elections are just games to them. Kind of reminds me of this country, how they look at elections as a game between one side of the Uniparty and the other side of the Uniparty. Doesn't seem like there's much opposition when both quote-unquote major parties believe the same thing. You don't see a lot of outcry about what's going over in this country. What you do see outcry about, or false outcry, if you will, is when you have these leftists, the socialist activists in the United States will attack Russia and beat war drums. And I'm not sitting here trying to tell you that Putin is some friend and ally. I think you got to stop looking at only black and white. You got to stop thinking that there's only one way or the other. I don't think that you can look out there and say that either Russia is a sworn enemy or a friend and ally. I think you have to have other alternatives. The world has indeed been turned upside down, friends. Here on the My View Matters Radio Network, I know a lot of stuff is focused on local and state, and I'm sorry I have to bring this national news to you, but someone's got to do it. Hell, last week I went out on the social networks. Just to step away from this story for a moment. I went out on the social networks. I was reporting to people about how I found it a little suspicious. I found it a little strange that the group that we're now calling ISIS drives Toyota trucks that were modified for U.S. Special Forces. And I sarcastically said, the junk food media didn't tell you about this one? Sorry to alarm you. You can go back to your favorite movie, TV show, or stupid video game now. But basically, ISIS, maybe we should put TM on the end, trademark ISIS, copyright ISIS, drives Texas-made Toyota trucks that were modified for U.S. Special Forces. And they didn't tell you about that on Fox News or CNN or ABC or Clear Channel or Talk Radio or MSNBC or the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times. Nobody really cares. I also went out on the social networks last week and mentioned the fact that the U.S. government had purchased 160,000 Ebola hazmat suits, which to me is proof of an expected viral outbreak. What, they didn't tell you about that on CBS or NBC or the UPN or the Washington Post or Salem Radio or Rush Limbaugh? They didn't talk about that? So like I said, the world truly, truly is turned upside down. And that leads me back to our story here with Vladimir Putin. He was a career apprentice, as they call him, in the Communist Party in the Soviet Union. He was a loyal agent of the Soviet secret police, the KGB. But now, only now, he proclaims himself to be a Christian. And he says that he now is donning the mantle of protecting Christianity and morality to the rejoicing huzzas of a lot of Christians and conservatives in the West. Like I said, I don't sit here and tell you that you have to think that either Putin is for us or against us. We're not going to do this George W. thing where we say everybody's for us or against us. Former GOP presidential candidate and best-selling author Pat Buchanan is a true paleoconservative who said, quote, in the culture war for the future of mankind, Putin is planting Russia's flag on the side of traditional Christianity. Well, it is true, is it not, that Putin stands virtually alone among world leaders when it comes to proclaiming his Christian identity, if you will, and condemning gay marriage, quote unquote. Isn't it ironic that he's the one that's out there claiming to be the man of morality while the other leaders of the so-called Christian West have adopted more politically correct lines? Is it not true that Putin and the Russian government have been spending hundreds of millions of dollars to rebuild hundreds of Russian Orthodox churches that were destroyed during the militant atheism of the Soviet era? Has he not restored the sacred holidays on the Julian Christian calendar? Did he not even sign a national law last year that outlawed advertisements for abortion? The answer, whether we like it or not, for better or for worse, is yes, 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 yes. True, 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 true. But let's look at all the facts. All the facts in context. First and foremost, any review of the basics regarding Putin, the most outstanding fact is he is a creature of the KGB. That is a truly diabolic organization, non-parallel. They stood for murder, terror, and grand deception. So maybe it's under the umbrella of this grand deception that they claim to be for Christianity now. How can we have a KGB that destroyed thousands of Christian churches, monasteries, convents, and schools, slaughtering millions of Christians, but they did not destroy the churches utterly? You had a lot that remained in what we would call underground churches, whose members were always at risk, just like in China, just like in Korea, of being arrested, tortured, and martyred. Above ground, the KGB took control of the Russian Orthodox Church, which became a very useful house organ of the Soviet atheist state. Now, we go back 5 years ago, Vladimir Mikhailovich Gundyev, better known as Metropolitan Kirill of Smolensk and Kaliningrad, was elected from a short list of three candidates to be the 16th Patriarch of Moscow and all Russia. That is the highest point of authority in the RLC, the Russian Orthodox Church. Now, the election was called to fill the posts that had been vacant by the death of Patriarch Alexei II. The bottom line on this election from 5 years ago, from a Moscow correspondent for the Financial Times and the Wall Street Journal, David Satter, said, according to material from the Soviet archives, he was a KGB agent. That meant he was more than just an informer, of whom there were millions in the Soviet Union. He was an active officer of the organization. So again, look at the yin and the yang. You had a KGB and a communist government that destroyed churches and killed Christians, but now you have Putin who's helping to build up the churches. You had Putin being hailed by pro-life forces because he signed the laws restricting the advertisements for abortion, but Russia still has the highest abortion rate in any country on record. 37.4 abortions for every 1,000 women between 15 and 44 years old. So all I'm trying to say is what you probably already know is that the world is totally upside down. The world is totally screwed up. I don't want people to think that Putin is somehow their savior and their hero all of a sudden. There aren't many saviors and heroes out there, folks. But Putin had a lot of criminal actions that eclipse his much publicized Christian statements and moral posturing. Let's give you a few in the interest of time before we do the bottom of the hour obligatory break. Assuming and exercising dictatorial powers throughout Russia, unprecedented since Stalin, appointing more KGB agents to government positions than at previous time in Soviet or Russian history. As reported by the BBC and other news agencies, 80% or more of Putin's appointees and administrators come from the KGB. Murdering Russian citizens through a number of state-run Chechen terrorist attacks, quote-unquote, in order to whip up public support for invading Chechnya. These crimes were well documented in, for instance, Darkness at Dawn, The Rise of the Russian Criminal State by David Satter, the aforementioned correspondent for the Financial Times. Another book called Blowing Up Russia, The Secret Plot to Bring Back KGB Terror by Alexander Litvinenko. There was another documentary film, The Assassination of Russia, by Jean-Charles Deneau. Putin helped to invade, bomb, and occupy Chechnya, including destroying much of the country and wantonly killing many civilians. These don't sound like the characteristics of a leader and a hero to me. Sorry, they just don't. Putin's brutal pulverizing of Chechnya reduced the capital of Grozny to rubble, and it killed tens of thousands of civilians. So all I'm trying to tell you, Christians, you are called to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. That's what we're told in Matthew 10. Why then would you allow yourselves to be deceived by a diabolical disorientation of some communist as a new savior of Christianity? The fact is, Putin in Russia, just like the guys in Chechnya and the guys in Ukraine, are key players in the New World Order. We continue to be pawns in their game. There's that game we're talking about, because elections are just a tiny little dice game to these folks. It's all about the globalization strategy on world order. Henry Kissinger had an article recently about that. So we'll come back after the bottom of the break and pick that up. You're listening to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. Again, to call in, 858-683-1326, TNT Radio on the My View Matters Radio Network. We'll be right back.
impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
And we thank you for holding on. We are back here on the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. Shows coming your way on this episode, on this airwave, on these episodes, 7 p.m. Eastern every night, Sunday night through Thursday night, on the My View Matters Radio Network. We were talking about before the break how Putin's Russia, just like Obama's United States, merges into a new world order, because you have Russia, essentially an oligarchy. They are rich and powerful, and America is increasingly becoming as centralized as Russia. And now the two of them are being drawn together. You look at all these allegedly claimed points of conflict, Ukraine, Syria. Everybody knows about Syria, where all the war hawks and all the Cheney types, all the Halliburtons are all excited that we're over in Syria now, supposedly fighting ISIS. Don't forget about Cuba, Iran. All these points of conflict, allegedly, between Russia and the West. The notion that Russia and its allies may someday, quote, merge or converge with the United States might sound ridiculous. You think we're talking about science fiction. You think this is the stuff of Coast to Coast AM or something. Still, though, it's the ultimate plan. It has been for decades. What do I mean by that? Well, the supposed crisis and tensions that we see between the East and the West, largely manufactured for public consumption, are helping to drive that process. Somewhere, somehow, behind the scenes, but not really in secrecy, you have Putin and his supposed nemesis among the global governments, Obama, and they're working together for that new world order that Henry Kissinger wrote a piece about in the Wall Street Journal a couple weeks ago. In essence, for the world to be ruled under a single global regime, East and West, First World and Third World, we all have to converge, got to meet in the middle, you know? We all got to get together and sing Kumbaya, as Mr. Springsteen might say. But in recent decades, however, at least in my lifetime, it's become clear that the scheme involves making the U.S. and Europe more like China and Russia rather than the other way around. Remember, if you go back to the 80s, we thought we had glasnost and perestroika, and the wall was falling down, and everybody over there was going to be like us over here, but it's turned to be the other way around. Been a long-term operation, folks. Didn't start in the 80s. We go all the way back to the 50s. You had the Ford Foundation and their president at the time, Roland Gaither, who also was in the Council of Foreign Relations. He explained the strategy that they had to investigator Norman Don. The major tax-exempt foundations and key government insiders, he explained, were working to alter life in the United States so that we can comfortably be merged with the Soviet Union. And the White House apparently was on board as well. It is true that outwardly, at least, Russian society has in some ways become more Western-oriented, even though the tragic and horrific legacy a mass murdering communist tyranny is everywhere. While Russia now has many quote-unquote companies, you know, that's that free market stuff that's really not a free market, Their economic system is similar to communist China's. That is, it's state-owned. It's run by regime functionaries and cronies. The system is often referred to as state capitalism, quote-unquote. Or we would call that communism. Or maybe we call it fascism, as we've talked about in our own country here. Got the United States right here, quickly moving into a similar direction. Federal government gobbling up, subsidizing, controlling, bailing out companies, dictating how they operate, usurping power, usurping authority, taking it away from other branches and levels of government, becoming solidly together in the federal executive branch. Charles Scaliger said last week in the New American Magazine that, quote, in very many respects, United States of America government and society are now aligned with the Communist Manifesto. You see, in Russia, despite claims of real reform from the Soviet Union, the old KGB bosses still run the whole show. We just talked about that with Putin before the break. Four out of five political leaders and administrators in Russia either have been or still are members of the KGB security services. Not surprisingly to us on the show, many of the KGB officials in question were appointed by Putin himself. Now, we talked about the Ukraine crisis several weeks and months ago, and now we're going to talk about how the Ukraine crisis fits into this. Because if you judge the events and tensions surrounding Ukraine, it would certainly appear on the surface that Putin and the United States were at odds with each other. However, as we've tried to explain here, and as countless senior-level globalists and New World Order strategists have made clear, crises and tensions between the various regions and blocs are crucial in the dialectical process, as observed recently in Ukraine, which is now on the road toward fully surrendering its sovereignty to the European Union. Eventually, if it all goes according to the globalist plan, empowered regional regimes, such as the EU, will be merged into submission their single global regime, likely spearheaded by the United Nations or some other organization. So how does Ukraine fit in? How does Putin fit in? Well, there are numerous complex agendas at work in Ukraine, but they all advance globalism. Most importantly is how Putin's aggressive actions in Ukraine, backing the separatist rebels, annexing Crimea, and more, have brilliantly served the establishment strategy for world order. And this is what I've been talking about for weeks and months. We had a Ukrainian fiasco that perfectly followed Henry Kissinger's outline strategy for competing regional units on the road to global governance. For example, the growing tensions served a key globalist goal that otherwise would have been far more difficult to sell to the European public, which is increasingly weary and even outraged by never-ending political integration. You look at Europe and Asia together, Europe-Asia, or however you want to call it, Eurasia, as some people call it, and you have this EU bellicosity that helped Putin justify his actions, such as the need for integration against hostile superblocks. In Europe over there, meanwhile, Putin's supposed militarism provided justifications for surrendering even more power to Brussels. See, folks, the irony is that many establishment mouthpieces on both sides of the supposed divide, remember that false left-right paradigm that you're seeing is being erased more and more and more every day? There is no left-right paradigm. It's all false. It's a paradigm, all right? But people on both sides of it actually have acknowledged that these tensions in Ukraine have created deeper integration and globalism despite growing opposition. You knew that even 25 years ago, after the fall of the Berlin Wall, nothing would concentrate the Western mind like a Soviet-style land grab in Eastern Europe. And now, ladies and gentlemen, how convenient. Is it likely that Putin, a ruthless Machiavellian and strategist, is simply not that smart and his actions accidentally will strengthen his Western nemesis? Well, Putin is not stupid. The chances of that are very, very slim. He did not rise to the top among the cutthroats and psychopaths by being stupid or shy. Because instead, behind the scenes, you have global forces hard at work trying to stage manage these geopolitical events. They're setting up a stage, folks. Have you ever been in a play in school, or maybe at church, or maybe at college, and you had to set up a stage of where everybody was supposed to stand when it came to their part in the act? That's what they're doing here. They're setting up a stage. And Henry Kissinger and Vladimir Putin are all peas in a pond. Globalist peas in a pond. We now have Putin openly cooperating with the highest echelons of the globalist establishment in the West. Last year, for example, Bloomberg reported that on the myriad links between Putin's government and Goldman Sachs, one of the premier globalist banking institutions. We know Goldman Sachs is a corporate founder of the CFR. Maybe you should get a little bit worried when you hear that Ted Cruz's wife is a corporate shill for Goldman Sachs. Maybe you should think about that for a moment. But Goldman Sachs CEO Lloyd Blankfein served on the Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev's advisory committee. Separately, the Russian Economic Ministry, quote-unquote, had just hired Goldman Sachs to help boost the nation's image and attract more foreign capital. In Europe and the United States, of course, Goldman Sachs operatives are never far from the real levers of power, with many of them regularly appointed to lead national and regional governments, banks, and more. So apparently we have this mutual admiration between Kissinger and Putin that goes back decades. You see, Putin had a book called First Person. I wonder if you can get that book on Amazon. I wonder if Gecko's, Jeff, and those guys, or those globalist attendees of CFR and Bilderberg meetings themselves, I wonder if I go over to Amazon, if they will let us purchase the book that was written by Vladimir Putin. Don't know. Can't find it right now, but it was called First Person. Written by Vladimir Putin. And the point of it is in his book, he cited Henry Kissinger as a trusted foreign policy advisor. In 2007, Kissinger and former KGB boss Yevgeny Primakov were appointed by Putin to co-chair a bilateral working group of political insiders who would deal with everything from terrorism to nuclear threats. That cooperation has expanded to unprecedented heights during the Putin-Obama era. Quite an odd development, I think, folks, where these guys are supposed to be sworn enemies, supposedly, allegedly working to counter each other. In the end, folks, unless the American people stop it, this cooperation with the world, with the East, with Russia, with Europe, with the EU, will become full-blown merger. And that's when the world will be under the thumb of one global regime. I found the book. You can get the book out there on Amazon. It's called First Person, a frank self-portrait by Russia's President Vladimir Putin, by Vladimir Putin, Natalia Gavorkin, Natalia Timokova, and Andrei Kozlenikov. All those women are always named Natalia over there, if you ever noticed that. Anyway, we know the show was internationally dominated tonight. But folks, you can only say so much about Saudi Arabia and the United States and all these countries getting together without our authorization for military strikes in Syria. You really think there's going to be a debate? You really think that Congress is going to return to D.C. and debate the president's authorization illegally or otherwise? Because if Congress does not return to D.C. immediately, don't mean in 7 weeks after the midterm elections, but if Congress does not return immediately, it is fair to assume that they believe the president has the authority to act as he did in launching these unilateral attacks into Syria. Nobody in Congress has an excuse unless they're in the hospital. There are plenty of airports around the United States to get you back to the District of Criminals. I mean, District of Columbia. Will they come back to D.C. and debate what the president's doing? Will anybody have the balls to stand up against what this administration is doing? I would not hold my breath for them to come back to D.C. and fight this. I hope you really don't think that there's going to be much opposition. We got a few people. I guess this would be as good a time as any for me to ramble off the names from my list of the very few people that I trust in Washington, D.C. You can tell me if I should add to or take away from this list. But in the U.S. Senate, I mostly trust Rand Paul and Mike Lee and James Risch, senators respectively of Kentucky, Utah, and Idaho. There are occasions, his Goldman Sachs bankster hack wife notwithstanding, when Ted Cruz can be trusted. And in the U.S. House, there's about 10 people that I trust over there. Justin Amash of Michigan, Jim Bridenstine of Oklahoma, Paul Brown of Georgia, Tim Holtzkamp of Kansas, Jim Jordan of Ohio, Raul Labrador of Idaho, our own very, very constitutional representative from the 4th District of Kentucky, Thomas Massey, Matt Selman of Arizona, Steve Stockman of Texas. That's about it, folks. That's about all the people I trust out of the 535 members of the U.S. House and U.S. Senate.